Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I am first and foremost going to commend the men who showed up today, whose wives are at the retreat. Nicely done, gentlemen. And I don't know about you, but the world that we live in is changing drastically, and there's a lot less happiness, a lot less smiles. I don't know if you've noticed that, but I am the kind of guy that when I see somebody, I smile. I go into the hospitals, I smile. And I know it's hard a lot of the times when everyone's wearing a mask, but it just seems that masks make people angry. And there's just not as much joy. And so I wanted to kind of address that, because we can allow circumstances in our lives to determine how we act, can determine our moods. And a lot of people are driven by their emotions. And I had a friend back in high school, and he had a girlfriend, and they fought constantly. This guy was a lot of fun to be around unless he was fighting with his girlfriend, because he whatever was going on between him and his girlfriend, if it was bad, he was angry at everybody else, and everybody else had to kind of pay for it. If things were going good, he let his emotions, and so he was fun to be around. And so he was driven by his emotions, on how he felt. And I was kind of mulling over this message, and I came up with, "Don't worry, be happy." You know that Marley song that everybody sings, and it's just a simple little tune, but it kind of makes you feel good. I think everybody has their guilty pleasure music, something that's just stupid, but people kind of tend to go towards them, or you either love them or you hate them. I know years ago we had a group, and George was in there, and I'll never forget. And we were going around talking about our guilty pleasure song, the one that if you hear it, if it comes on the radio, you crank it up when nobody's looking. And George, do you want to tell people what your guilty pleasure song is? His guilty pleasure song is "I Like Big Butts and I Can't Deny." Exactly. And that was, he told me that by probably 15 years ago, actually 10 years ago. And I've never forgot it. And to be quite honest, just about anything from ABBA makes me smile. And I absolutely love, if I'm having a bad day and this song comes on, the switch is automatically switched or flipped. It is Katrina and the Waves, "Walking on Sunshine." And it's just, if I hear it, I just crank it up. I don't care who's next to me. It takes me to my happy place. And so we have a tendency to allow exterior things dictate how we feel and our emotions. And it's weird how one song can bring back so many memories. And all of a sudden, it just, boom, you're automatically into that. Oh, this is great. And then there are other songs that I just like, oh, dear Lord, I can't turn them off quick enough. Just about anything from Prince does that to me. And so I started looking into the scriptures and about being happy. And I came across this, it was just a quote that I found online. And it says, "It is not happy people who are thankful. It is thankful people who are happy." And I thought, how true. How true. Because when we have a thankful heart, we have a lot more things that make us happy. But if we're happy without being thankful, then we are driven by our exterior circumstances. And I thought, what a perfect quote. It is not happy people who are thankful. It is thankful people who are happy. And I talked to a local businessman, and he's a millionaire. And we were driving somewhere. I can't remember what we were doing. It had to do with construction. And we got to talking, and he said to me something that was very profound. And we were talking about money and how it affects us and how everybody wants more. And he says, "Jim, let me tell you something. If you are not happy before you have money, you will not be happy with money." He says, "Money has nothing to do with happiness." And that always stuck with me. So I wanted to go into the scriptures and find out what they had to say about happy and thankful. And we're going to start with happy. And we're going to start in Ecclesiastes 11, verses 7 through 10. And we don't have the scriptures today, so you're going to have to go old school and use your phone. Or if anybody still has one of these, you can look it up. But Ecclesiastes it is generally thought that Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And it basically starts out with everything under the sun. And so he's talking about everything that happens here on earth. Without God mixed into it, he's talking about everything under the sun. And he gets to the last part of it and he says, is meaningless. And Solomon was one of the richest men who ever lived. He did not want for anything. Yet he read through this Ecclesiastes account, you would think that he lived a real rough life. He did not. But he got to the end of his life and he said, you know what? Our life is just a vapor. Everything under the sun, which means here physically, is absolutely worthless if you do not know God. And so we're going to read chapter 11. And he says, light is sweet, and it pleases the eye to see the sun. However many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. But let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. So here's a guy that's talking about what life is about. And it's in verse 8, it says, however many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. I have to be quite honest with you as far as grandchildren go and babies in general. I love to hold a newborn for about 30 seconds. They don't do anything. They just lay there. There's no interaction. There's no response. If you get a smile out of them, it's like, oh, she just smiled at me. And it's usually gas. And then they grow and they start recognizing you and recognizing your voice and recognizing your face and interacting. And that's when I start to really enjoy kids. And the older they get, the more they, you know, let's do this. Little Luca, he's like, he wants to play ball with whoever's around. If it's football, basketball, baseball, that S word that shall remain nameless, it's soccer. It's not a sport. But he just wants to be there. And he's so much fun. I enjoy him. And Belinda is kind of the opposite. She loves every single phase. She loves them when all they do is spit up and poop and eat and sleep. She loves that. And then she loves the next stage. And then she loves the next stage. And so he is saying here, however many years anyone may live, let them enjoy them all. Every single moment that we have is a gift from God. And if we spend our time worrying, anxiety, frustrated, angry, we are actually just tossing those moments away. So he says, enjoy all of them. Enjoy all of your days. Even when your body starts breaking down and getting creaky, look for the blessings in the right now, because it's so easy to miss them. We don't know if we're not promised tomorrow. Yesterday, actually this last week, we had the funeral service and the graveside service for Don Priest. And God bless him. I mean, I hate doing funerals. Being around sad people for hours is emotionally draining. We had the graveside at 2:30, and then we had the service at 6 o'clock. It didn't get out until 8:30. Incredible blessing, but incredibly draining. And Don lived for, he was 90 years old, 89, 90 years old. Well, yesterday I went out and I got a phone call from my mom, and she wanted me to come out and help her winterize some things. And I said, sure. So I had my coffee and breakfast and went over there, and I wanted to be home by noon because the Eastern football team was playing. And so I headed out, and I got to Liberty Lake at about 11:30. I got, sweet, I've got plenty of time to go home, flip on the channel, make a sandwich or whatever. And all of a sudden, traffic came to a screeching halt. And I went, oh, come on. And I was irritated. When that happens, I get irritated. And I get more irritated when there's a blocking lane or something and everyone starts getting over except for that person who is so much more special and better than everybody else and more important that they have to cut. And it drives me crazy. So I'm sitting, I don't know what's going on. And there's a trickle of cars kind of weaving their way. And you could tell it was an accident. And so they're getting through. I'm getting closer to getting there. There was no ambulance, no authorities on the scene at that time. And all of a sudden, I start hearing the sirens. And look in my rearview mirror. Sure enough, they're coming bombing up the thing. And I could see them quite a ways back. And I'm looking at the people getting through. And I'm going, get through, get through, get through, get through. I just want to get home. And I didn't get through. I was about the 10th car back when the authorities went past me and shut down everything. And I'm like, great. It's like, okay, they can just get it off to the side. Well, if any of you heard, it was a motorcycle and car accident. And so I'm sitting there, and I just want, you know what? It is what it is. I can't change my circumstances. So I'm going to choose to be thankful that I was not in the accident. So I, you know, listened to the Eastern pregame show, you know, and I thought, oh, I'll get home in a few, 15, 20 minutes. I didn't get home for an hour and 10 minutes, and I live 3 minutes from there. And I come to find out, I watched the life flight come in, and the chopper picked up one of the people and flew him off, and then I saw the load another person into an ambulance, and they just closed the door and then walked around, and they were doing their thing. And I found out later it was a motorcyclist, a 43-year-old man, and he had a 13-year-old teenager on the back of the bike, and the 43-year-old man died. He was dead on the scene, and they lifted the teenager, and I haven't heard about that person. But I sat there for an hour and 10 minutes, and I'm thinking, you know what? This is just an hour and 10 minutes out of my life. That guy that they put in the back of the ambulance is out of minutes. And so I just started praying for him and his family, because his life is over. Everything that came up to that moment, there are no more moments. And none of us are guaranteed another minute. And so he says, however many years you have, enjoy all of them. enjoy. I don't understand people, and I know you've met some, and we don't have any here at New Hope, that just live angry. They're just bitter. They're just mean. They're just ornery as all get out. And it's like, you don't understand. You don't understand that this is all you have. And it is a gift. He goes on to say, but let them remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. Every single one of us are going to have dark days. So why should we throw away the good days and be angry and bitter about what we don't have or what so-and-so has or whatever? I wish I had this. I wish I had that. You're actually ruining those days and turning those into dark days. You're going to have enough dark days coming along. Enjoy the good ones. Enjoy the good ones. He says, you who are young, be happy while you are young. And you won't understand that until you're not young anymore. You won't understand that until you can't just join in a pickup basketball game. Or you run after your grandson and he can outrun you and he's only 13 months old. And runs like this. Larry, you know what I'm talking about. Be happy while you are young. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. See, there are certain things when I was younger that made me happy that were not good. They were not beneficial. And God says, you know what? Chase after your heart while you're young. Follow your heart. You know, it's in every song. Follow your heart. But he says, know this. God is watching you, and you will be judged according to all the things that you do. You will be judged according to all of the things that you say. So live it up, but be careful. Your choices will determine your path. What you think in your mind and act out in your actions will determine blessing or curse. Consequences. There's consequences to everything. We may think we got away with something in the end. Nope. God will bring you into judgment. So be careful on the things that make you happy but are not godly. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body. I love that. I notice that the older that I get, the more I talk about what hurts. You ever notice that? How you doing? Oh, I fell off a ladder the other day. My back hurts, and I've got this thing. And it's like, what does this look like to you? Do you see what that is? You know, and you just got all these little different ailments and everything. And then I realize the older you get, the more you talk about them. It says, cast off, banish anxiety from your heart. Worry will kill you. Worry actually makes being worrisome, being anxious, actually releases chemicals into your body that are not healthy for your body. And if you spend day in, day out worrying, you're actually killing yourself. He says, banish anxiety. Banish means don't even let it in. Get it. If it's in there, get rid of it. Don't let it take root in your heart. Get rid of it. And cast off the troubles of your body. I truly believe that we should take care of our bodies. I actually started working out again after I got winded chasing Luca around in the backyard. And I thought, you know what? No, I want to be able to keep up with the little bugger. And so I started changing some things. I don't know about you, but I've noticed that when you're working out, it takes so long to get into shape and only like 3 days to get out of shape again. That's just not right. That is not right. I remember playing basketball, and that was when I was young. And basketball is just a bunch of running. That's all. It's running. It's basically a track meet with a ball. And we would have practice Monday through Friday. And I have asthma. I've had it since birth. I hate running. It's not pleasurable to me at all. And I know some people that they love to run. Oh, you just wait till you hit that euphoria moment where your body just takes over and you're just like, I've never had that. Ever. Agony takes over. Lack of oxygen takes over. But I've never had that. This is awesome. Ever. And I noticed that when I was playing basketball for 5 days a week, we would run. And so I took Saturday and Sunday off. And Monday, I was dying. Oh, like 2 days, and then I'm out of shape again. How does that work? That's reality, and that's life. Banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body. For youth and vigor are meaningless. They're meaningless. Holy smokes, this guy is a downer. This is Debbie Downer right here. But he's being real. Amen? So then I went into thankful. There's not a whole lot of scriptures in the Bible that reference happy. But there are a ton that reference thankfulness. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. You see, prayer is something that we should be doing every day. And it says, first off, be watchful. Pray for those things that need to be prayed for. Pray protection for your family. Pray for God's will in your life. Be watchful. Because of why? Because an enemy is circling around us looking to destroy us. So we need to be diligent and watchful in our prayer times. God says, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. I'll give it to you. You need discernment? I'll give it to you. See, sometimes we need to be more watchful in our prayer time and less of the sugar daddy list. We need to be watchful and not just go to God when we are in a crisis mode. Sometimes if we are watchful during our prayer time, we don't get to crisis mode because we're already prepared. God has already intervened on our behalf. But it says be watchful and it says be thankful. Be thankful. When Jesus said, this is how you are to pray, he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His main focus in the beginning was on who God was. And then he went into give us these things. But we need to be thankful for who he is. We need to be thankful on a daily basis for what he has done in our lives. We need to be able to see and be thankful and recognize those things and then acknowledge God and his blessings in those things. Oftentimes when we start getting focused on the garbage of the world, we become less and less thankful. I was thankful that I was not 10 cars ahead on the freeway yesterday. I was thankful. I saw things in a different perspective because when it first started, I was irritated. I was angry. And then I just felt God's peace go, you know what? Chill. And my attitude changed. And I sat there for an hour and 10 minutes. And I was okay. I was okay. Colossians 3:12-15. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And then he says, and be thankful. He gives this entire list of clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with each other, forgiving one another. And then he says at the end, and be thankful. You see, when we view the world around us with a thankful foundation, it changes who we are. It changes how we interact with other people. And sometimes, even though some people don't deserve it, all they need is gentleness or patience. I used to... I pray for people when I go in to the hospitals, and people that walk by, and then I smile and say hello, and they smile back. I walk past and I go, Lord, bless that person for their smile, just for their countenance, because I was blessed by that. And there are people that I walk by that look you square in the eye, you say hello, how are you, and they just look at you like you just shot their dog. And I walk by, and I go, no blessing for you. Until I had one person, Jan Villegas. She came to me, and Jan, if you know Jan, she's a tender heart. She said, you know what? That person that was angry may need a blessing more than the other person. And it changed my attitude. It's like, okay. Sometimes I still don't give them a blessing, but there are times when it's like, Lord, if you want to bless that person, you go right ahead. Like he needs my permission. But there's always a different side to everybody. We don't have all the information on how people are behaving and why they behave that way. This says here, you know what? Forgive one another. If you have a grievance against someone else, forgive them. Why? Because if you don't, you're allowing bitterness to take root in your heart and in your mind. And when God says that we need to forgive other people, it's not for their benefit. It's for your benefit. And whether or not they receive, you say, I'm sorry, and they just don't accept it, that's on them. That is on them. But we are called to be thankful and to be forgiving. In fact, it's a command. God says, if you cannot forgive your brother who has sinned against you, then I cannot forgive you. I cannot forgive you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We are to be thankful in all circumstances. When life sucks, we are to be thankful. And that is so hard to do. When someone else treats you poorly, we are to be thankful. And that is not easy to do. But when we allow God to work in our lives, in our minds, and in our hearts, it's a lot easier. Because he will put things into perspective. Amen?
Amen.
It says, give thanks, pray continually, rejoice, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Psalm 100, 1 through 4, and I'm going to read out of the King James Version. A psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. You see, when Solomon was talking about everything under the sun, he was actually saying, everything under the sun without God is meaningless. Here in the Psalms it says, be thankful to Him and bless His name in all circumstances. And the word thankful is yada in the Hebrew. It is a verb. It is an action word. It's not just a thought. It is not just a feeling. It's not just an emotion. It is a action word, a verb. And it means to throw, to shoot, or to cast. And a picture that came to my mind was, I don't know if you've ever seen islanders or whatever, and they're fishing with nets, and they have this big net, and they cast it out over a school of fish, and then they bring it all back in. It's that picture. That is the picture of being thankful. You cast it out. And that means it goes from you out. So thankfulness is not just something that you hang on to. Thankfulness is something that you share with other people. How you act, how you look, how you speak to other people determines what they're receiving. And when we are thankful, we don't hold that in, we cast it out. It has to come from us, through us, out to the people around us. That's true thankfulness. Hebrews 12, 26 through 28. At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. You see, the things that can be shaken will be shaken, and they will be removed. What are those things? Everything here, physically, on earth. Everything that's been created. What can't be shaken is what goes on in God's kingdom. And Jesus says, when he prayed, he says, on earth as it is in heaven. So there is a connect between the spiritual things and the physical things. And if you're just living in the physical world, you are living a meaningless life. Because without God and His kingdom and His love for us, your life is worthless. This is what he's talking about. And he says right at the end, let us be thankful. You see, all things are going to be shaken. I believe we are seeing things being shaken right now on our earth. And all of these things that we put as the highest priority and the biggest focus and everything like that doesn't mean anything in the light of eternity. So where's your anxieties? Is it on, oh, this person won't wear a mask, or oh, this person won't get vaccinated, or oh, this person, or Biden, Inslee, whatever. If I allow myself to focus on the garbage in our world right now, I will make myself sick. You have to have a disconnect. Your focus has got to be on God and being thankful for the blessings that He has given you. Because if you don't, you are going to be one miserable son of a gun. And you know what? There are millions of miserable son of a guns in our world today. We are to be thankful in all circumstances, in all aspects of our lives. And we have blessings all around us that we don't even recognize. My father-in-law, Belinda's dad, he uh, He was the slowest driver I ever knew. He drove me nuts. To ride with him is like, oh dear Lord. If he saw a yellow or a green light, he would start slowing down just in case it turned yellow. He wanted to be able to stop in case it turned. So every light, drive me crazy. Drive me absolutely nuts. And I asked him, I says, why do you do that? He goes, well, I believe that if I get a red light, there's a reason I got a red light. And I says, well, I believe that Satan is in charge of red lights. And he goes, no, I don't know what God has prepared for me on the next block. What if I go through a light that's yellow and I get in an accident before I get to the next light? I may be disobedient to what God's wanting to do in my life. Maybe he wants me to stop there for a reason. I don't know. And that's the way he looked at life and driving. He drove me crazy. But you know what? He never got in an accident. And he believed that right around the corner or right up ahead was going to be a divine appointment with somebody. And he says, I don't want to miss it. So he drove cautiously, looking for divine appointments in the road. And you never know when they're going to happen. But he taught me, and it still irritates me, traffic lights and traffic. But it did allow me to be more aware of what's going on around me. And that's a good thing. Because you're taking the focus off of you. So when you get irritated, when I get irritated in traffic, it's because I feel like I have been wronged. And the focus is completely 100% on me. And to live your life that way is to focus on you and not what God has for you. Belinda's dad, his entire existence was looking for opportunities to bless somebody. Opportunities to pray for somebody. Opportunities to help somebody out. That was his focus. Unfortunately, when I'm driving, my focus is where I'm going and how I'm going to get there the fastest. But he had a different perspective on life. And I have learned from him to look for the blessings and be thankful for them when they come. And thank God for them when you receive them. So we are to live and be thankful. Not just happy, but thankful. Because if you can learn how to be thankful, you will be happy. You'll be a lot happier in your life. Amen? We're going to have the music ministry team come up here. So it is not happy people who are thankful. It is thankful people who are happy. So it starts with an attitude of your mind. It starts with the condition of your heart. And then it goes from there. Amen? Please stand.